Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're talking about the Passover tonight. Passover lamb and about the feast of the Passover. So let's take a look then to begin with at Exodus chapter 12 where this is recorded. Now, if you remember at this point in the biblical history, Pharaoh with a steel iron hand has been oppressing the people of Israel. And they are under hard oppression underneath the hands of their taskmasters. And God heard their cry and sent Moses to deliver them. And the greatest of the plagues that was given where God would slay the Egyptians is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 12. And let's see how Jesus prepares and how God prepares his people for that day, for that night. He says in verse 21, "Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Select lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and touch the lintel and the doorposts of your houses with the blood which is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to slay the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to slay you.'" So you can see here how God makes a distinction between his people Israel and those who are not his people, the Egyptians. And this was a repercussion or a vengeance that God was taking upon the Egyptians when they slew the Hebrew children some years before. But those who had the blood of the Passover lamb upon their houses, upon the entrance to their houses, were saved because the avenging angels, when they came down to slay the Egyptians and wafted and raced through the streets of the cities, would look upon the doorposts of the Israelites in the land of Goshen, and when they saw the blood, would pass over that door, and Israel would be saved when God delivered his vengeance strike upon the land of Egypt. So that's the story of the Passover. But then God gives this very strange ordinance, this command to his people about how to celebrate this throughout their generations. Did you catch this? It's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what it says here in Exodus 12, verse 17 and following, God says, "You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened, Unyeasted, that is, Bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an ordinance forever. On the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread. And so until the 21st day of the month at evening, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your homes. For if anyone eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread." My question to you tonight is, what is going on with this leavened, unleavened bread? Now, you know what leaven is, right? It's yeast. So what are we to make of this? Is God some sort of divine ethereal Rachel Ray or Betty Crocker up there interested in how people cook? Is that what it's about? Does God care if you eat leavened or unleavened bread the rest of the time? Of course not. God is not interested in things like that. So why then does he command the people of Israel no leaven on the Passover? Any answers? Well, it's because, and you can see this in our New Testament epistle reading for today, the leaven symbolizes something. Now, I'm going to ask you again in just a minute. I'll read what Paul writes about this. You tell me what the leaven symbolizes, all right? He says to the Corinthians, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are, unleavened. For Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So what is the leaven now, would you say? Leaven is symbolic of sin. Any type of sin that is in your life, malice, evil, or whatnot. Now, in the letter to the Corinthians, what was the sin that was going on in that church? That was pretty horrendous. If you look just a few verses previous to this, Paul reprimands them like an abrasive hammer. He says, "It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and of a kind that's not found even among pagans. For as a man is living with his father's wife, and you are arrogant, ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this thing be removed from among you." In other words, this was the leaven that he said, cleanse out of the congregation before it infects everything. For what is leaven like? Anybody use yeast? Anybody bake? I know Vivian doesn't use leaven because I asked her this afternoon. Therefore, I made a trip to Walmart for your benefits in order to get some dry, active yeast. This will make your bread leavened at home. And what is it about leaven here? If I get this out here, pouring it out, it's really just these tiny little things like this. What's the big deal about leaven? Well, how does leaven work? How's that? Makes it rise. And according to my research, leaven or yeast is a eukaryotic microorganism. This little stuff is alive. It's classified in the kingdom fungi. It can reproduce asexually by budding or by binary fission. Comes from an old English root meaning to boil, foam, or bubble. It does not require sunlight to grow. It can grow in dark places. And the dough, when it is kneaded, if it has the yeast in it, if you allow it, the yeast will grow and multiply and feed on the sugar and grow until it can make the bread twice the size it was before if the yeast had not been in there. And so what is it then about this leavened or unleavened bread? God commanded the people of Israel in the old days, "You shall have a feast of unleavened bread," symbolizing purity. You are to cleanse yourselves from sin. And the New Testament Passover feast is the Lord's Supper, which we are about to celebrate tonight. For when did Christ institute the Lord's Supper? On the evening at the Passover meal of the Jews. And so what we are celebrating is the New Covenant Passover meal tonight, where we eat the Lamb's body, drink the Lamb's blood, which is the forgiveness of our sins in the new covenant. So, but God doesn't want us as Christians, either in our congregations or at the Lord's table or in your personal lives, to allow this stuff, sin, this active organism, to grow and leaven inside of you. Have you seen churches like this? They don't practice church discipline because, well, this is a popularity contest. And because they don't practice church discipline, evil is allowed in the midst of God's people. And when evil is allowed in the midst, it begins to grow and grow and multiply until it leavens the whole congregation and it just basically erupts. We got to drive out any types of sin like that. Now, we're all sinners. We've all, at times, messed up, and we all face temptations. But I want to ask you tonight, is there any of this in your life? Something secret that is leavening inside your soul? What can you think of that is able to grow in the dark places, that doesn't need sunlight, that is able to multiply and grow? Will you root it out? You know what, I don't really care to do lawn work very much, let's be honest with you. I prefer to varnish a deck. But when I do go around my lawn, there's a tree next to us that is constantly blowing seeds into my yard, and these little things start to grow. And I can recognize it, and I think, I got to pull this one up as opposed to those weeds I don't care about. This one I got to pull up soon, because if it takes root, just like some of the other ones in my yard, I cannot get it out. All I can do is just chop it off, because I can't get the roots. They're deep. Is there any yeast in your life? Is there any sin in your life that has secretly taken root and is beginning to grow? I warn you, and I am commissioned by God to announce to you tonight, dig it up now before it takes hold and goes deep and begins to consume you. And this is what was spoken of throughout the scriptures. Take a look at the Old Testament. Remember when Israel was going into the promised land of Canaan? Well, this is what God warned them about. He said, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you," that is the sinners in those days, "then those of them whom you let remain shall be as pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. And I will do to you as I thought to do to them." In other words, in those days, the inhabitants of the land were so fully consumed in their immorality that God said, "God, you must destroy them." Or the option is, they will destroy you, just like leaven, filling and leading you astray from the living God. And so, what I'm asking you tonight is, what is there in your life? I don't hear anybody speaking, but perhaps in the secret thoughts, you're churning over something that you've been wrestling with. And my word to you tonight is, dig it out. Cleanse out the old leaven now, the malice and evil, or whatever that sin is, before it takes root. But maybe some of you are thinking, well, I can't really think of anything. I've been pretty diligent. Well, Paul felt similar. He said in 1 Corinthians 4, "I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light those things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then every man will receive his commendation from God." So if you are feeling pretty secure today that you have rooted out these things, my word to you is, take heed, lest you fall. Anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed. And as it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Keep your heart. For as Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy," false teaching. "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. What you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." And so, are you with me tonight? God is speaking to you today, not to make you feel terrible, but to heal you. And say, be vigilant, be watchful, be a Gregory, because they know the word Gregoreo means to watch. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just saying, watch, be wary. And where is the good news in all this? I think it's found right here. In 1 Corinthians 6 again, he says, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened." In other words, get rid of the old sin. Why? Because you really are sinless because Christ has died for your sins. He has washed you of your sins. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized into his name, as Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are washed. All of this has been rooted out, and what you do have, if you've confessed it, has been forgiven. You are new. You are unleavened bread in Christ, your Passover lamb. And so, since you are already, then just live like it. Live like who Christ has made you to be. And finally, I'll say this. You have the Passover lamb. Do you think God just caused this event to happen in church history and the history of his people just to show his power only? No, it was for that, but also to point forward to a greater judgment. When God would save his people out of the greater Egypt, and God would, that is, this world, and God would rescue us from a greater Pharaoh, the devil, and would save us from a greater judgment, which is the day of the Lord, when Jesus will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. And if you think I'm being kind of harsh and fire and brimstone with that, well, I just quoted 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. That's just straight scripture. But for you who've believed in Christ, you've been baptized and believed on the Lord, the Passover lamb, you know what? The blood on the doorposts and the lintels are now on the houses of your souls. And when God sends his avenging destroyer on the last day to pass through the land of the world, the angel of fire, it will see the door, the blood on the doorposts of your spirits, your bodies, your souls, and in God's grace and mercy will pass over you. For God's judgment against sin has already been carried out there on the cross, and your sins have been nailed to the tree. And so this tonight is a message of good news. You have a Savior, a Passover lamb. You are cleansed. You are new. God says, then be diligent to walk in these ways with joy and cleanse out the old leaven. Amen.